Hello, this is Larry Clark from Excelsior Music Publishing with another episode of From the Composer. I'm excited today to talk to composer Matthew Putnam, and I welcome you today, Matthew.
Well, thank you very much, Larry. Glad to be here.
We're looking forward to talking to you today. Could you start off a little bit, telling us a little bit about your background in music and how you got started in composition?
Sure. Been a band nerd for all of my adult life and most of my youth. I started band in seventh grade in a small rural band program and really enjoyed that. Took off from that and ended up auditioning for Spirit of Atlanta Drum Corps when I was a sophomore in high school. Made the corps, marched with the corps for 3 years, 85 through 87. Attended Limestone College as a music education major, and I just always knew that writing wanted it to be a big part of that. Even in high school, I started dabbling in arranging. I had a high school director that arranged, and I just thought that's what band directors did. That everybody did that. I didn't realize till later on that was a unique thing,
right?
And that was a special gift that he kind of imparted to me, a desire to do that. I had a lot of guys that and females too that were in college ahead of me. They got out and got band jobs and were panicking. They got the job like the week before band camp and they needed a show. And they said, "Is that something you can do?" And I said, "Sure." You know, whether I could or not, I said I could, and just kind of jumped in and started doing a lot of marching band arranging. And that's really how I got into composing was through arranging, and then later that developed into, you know, I could probably do my own thing. And had the opportunity to do that a couple of times, and that's really how I got into composing.
So did you start to do that for your own students, or how did that go?
Yeah, my first teaching job, I was the band director, chief cook, and bottle washer. I mean, I had to wear all the hats.
Sure.
I was the drum instructor. To a certain degree, I was the guard instructor. I was the drill writer. I was the music arranger. So it was kind of to fill a need that there were things I wanted to do. There weren't stock charts available, so I just kind of jumped in and did it for myself, and had some success with that. Other people liked what I was doing for my groups and would ask me to write for theirs, so that's how that got started.
Great. So besides writing for educational ensembles like concert band and orchestra, have you written any other things for any other types of ensembles or instruments?
I've written for percussion ensemble, both concert and marching. That was really my first pieces that were ever published were through Roloff Productions.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and that's been a while back. But I'm not a percussionist. But like I said, I kind of had to teach myself to be a percussionist to teach my own drum line.
Right.
And the way I did it was I had other people write some stuff for me, and I just kind of analyzed it, tore it apart, realized what I liked about it, and kind of imitated and did my own thing with it, and then ended up writing a couple of percussion features for Roloff. I've done some percussion ensemble stuff for some individuals. You know, we have a common acquaintance, Cindy Gilbert. She's hired me to do some percussion ensemble stuff for her over the years, and I enjoy doing that. I'm also a church choir director, so I've done some arranging for my church choir too. So just, you know, anybody that's willing to perform my stuff, I'll write something for them. I'm totally open to that.
Yeah, right. I think that's kind of how a lot of us get started. We just write stuff for the need, and then it kind of grows from there.
Right.
So talk to us a little bit about your process. What, you know, how do you compose? You do it, you know, night, daytime, morning, early, on a keyboard, on a computer, you know, what do you do?
Well, the short and uninteresting answer would be all of the above.
I think that's true for a lot of us. Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I could say I was a disciplined writer that I set aside specific time that I'm going to do it, but that would be an absolute total lie. I mean, I wear so many hats during the day as a middle school director, as a high school director, as a church choir director. I find time when I can find time, and the irony of it is, I seem to find the most inspiration when I have the least amount of time. You know,
yeah.
When I've got 10 other things I need to do, that's when I feel inspired to write something. And so that's always a challenge, but that's just the way it seems to go for me. As far as I do a combination. Sometimes I just sit down at the computer and I have an idea of what I want, and I go straight into notation software. Sometimes I'll sit down with a particular instrument. If I'm knowing that this is the instrument that I want to have melodic content or whatever, and I will actually play it on that instrument. I think just the feel of how does it feel playing this particular passage on this instrument. And sometimes try
to actually play, like, if you think it's a flute melody, you'll actually pick up a flute and play flute.
Absolutely. Cause I just, you know, the sense of how does that feel to actually play that? Is there a good tactile feel to that? Does that feel right when I play that?
See, that's a great, you know, band director story that also composes and uses the aspect of the pedagogical, you know, and the idiomatic way that the instrument's going to speak when you write the music. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I try to take, you know, there are things that, well, for example, on the Great Clipper Race, that main melodic idea on trumpet, it sounds really open, and it's a neat, bold melody, but it's all open in first valve.
Right.
And it's written to take advantage of that. The overtone series of the horn, it's just built around that. And then it was a matter of putting an interesting harmony to that melody. So I do a lot of that stuff, including percussion stuff. I'll go back and I'll play all the parts. And just, does it feel right when I play that? I know what I want to hear, but I want it to feel right too.
Sure. So you want it to be also idiomatic for how it falls under the fingers.
Absolutely.
It is.
Yeah.
That's it. So do you ever get writer's block? And if you do, what do you do to get out of it?
I do get writer's block. And it tends to happen when I try to overthink things.
Absolutely.
You just kind of have to let it do its own thing. You know, I'm just the vessel through which it goes. It's not my inspiration. It just, I don't know where it comes from, but it just kind of flows through me. And when I try to dictate where it's going to go, that's when I hit the block. I just need to go with what I'm, you know, with what I'm feeling. And when I relax and do that, I tend to open up and a little more free. Deadlines tend to motivate me too.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. I think students can relate to that with, you know, term papers and things too.
Right. Well, yeah, when you've got a lot of time to write something, it's like you write something and then you second and third and fourth guess it and rewrite it. And then a lot of times I ultimately end up going back to the very first thing that I wrote. And when you've got that deadline, you just have to go with the initial and go with it. So,
well, when you don't have a lot of time, you don't have a lot of time for self-doubt. You just have to do it.
Absolutely.
And I include myself in this. I always, on every piece, have a bit of self-doubt before I actually just dive into it.
Yeah.
And I think that may be a universal composer thought. I don't know.
I can certainly relate to that. It's like, who is, you know, Nobody's going to want to hear this. I need to just trash this and do something different. Yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So how has the way you've written music changed over the years? Or hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to give away my age a little bit here, but when I first started writing, that involved a piece of staff paper and a pencil.
Me too.
You know, and I was amazed by, you know, I had the good fortune in my band and my drum corps career to a lot of writers that wrote by hand. And I was just amazed that, you know, they heard it in their head and it went straight to paper. They didn't have the feedback until somebody actually played it. And today we do have incredible tools of feedback, instant feedback. You know, you can, and it's not perfect, like I said, but it's getting better all the time. And you know, you can try out different tone colors. It's not exact. No, it's not the same as a band or an orchestra playing it, but you can try out different things and get a pretty good sense of what the end product is going to be. And that's opened up a world of opportunities for me. I mean, I'm a much better writer because of the technology that's available today. I've fully embraced it and try to stay in tune with new things on the horizon.
Absolutely. I think that's true for myself as well. What I do find sometimes, and you may agree, is that sometimes it does unfortunately make me a little bit lazy, and I have to sort of remind myself not to do that, because copy and paste is an easy thing.
Right, yeah. And that's, you don't want to just, okay, here's that exact same eight bars again, but, you know, what little twist can I bring to it? How can I revoice that? How can I up the ante a little bit?
Right.
Absolutely. But you can try a lot of ideas and get feedback very quickly.
If a band director wants to get a hold of you and get more information about your music, where can they find you?
I'm in the process of working on a website. So I don't have a web address for that yet, but I am on Facebook. You can contact me. I'm assuming there's a link through the Excelsior site to my Facebook page. Feel free to message me through that. I'm assuming that we'll have an email link for me as well. But for right now, through the Excelsior publishing website is probably the best way to do it. And I'll try to get back to you as quick as I can. I'm usually pretty good about that.
So, Matt, thank you very much for taking the time with us today on this program, and I appreciate your time.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Larry.
You're welcome. This is Excelsior Music Publishing's From the Composer. I thank you for listening to this episode with composer Matthew Putnam, and we'll be back with you for another episode in the future.